Glad you're in the Lord's house this morning, and we just pray that God has a special blessing. We also welcome all who might be listening to us later in the day on the webcast. It's a great day to be in the Lord's house. It's pretty outside, but it'd be mighty chilly to be sitting out there in those lawn chairs this morning. Wouldn't need the fan.
But
Jeff would be just fine. But but we're so glad that you've chosen to come this morning, and we pray God has a special blessing just for each one of you. Amen. Let me mention one thing, and I think it's maybe an announcement that I have mentioned to Leonard. Franklin Graham has asked that next Sunday morning, or next Sunday, be a day of prayer and fasting for our nation. Now, we'll spend some time, you know, as part of the service next Sunday morning, praying for our nation. And I'll leave it up to you to choose how much fasting you'll do, whether you'll fast a meal or all day, or just give up coffee or something for the day, or sweets or something else, or give up Sunday afternoon football. But whatever, we'll spend some special time next week praying for our nation. Let's pray together today. Lord, it's so good to be in your house. Thank you for your people who have gathered here. I pray, Father, now that the Spirit of God would minister, speak, encourage. Father, you know every need. You know the needs of those that are listening to the web service. Many of them would like to be in church, but because of their health, they cannot be there. I pray that you'll minister to them. Lord, I thank you that you're such a great God. You can be in this building. You can be in every church building that's around the world today, where people are lifting up the name of Jesus. You can also be in homes, nursing homes, hospital rooms. And so, Father, there are those with special needs. I just pray that you'll meet every need. Lord, I just thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to see you all this morning in the sanctuary, and have everybody on the webcast and that'll be listening later on today. And also those of you on the radio, they're listening to the radio, not on the radio, but listening to the radio. We welcome you as well. We always like to do a hymn sing, so this morning we're going to do Blessed Be the Name. Blessed Be the Name. We'll be doing verses 1, 2, and 4, and Jeff will have them on the screen for you. Okay, Brenda.
Tongues to sing, blessed be.
have some announcements for you this morning. First, the stewardship committee has asked me to inform you, you committee members, that you need to meet at the fellowship hall right after service today for about 15 minutes. So you members of the stewardship meeting, be in your place after service this morning, please. Today we will be having our quarterly conference and at the end of the service, so you be prepared for that. I've got some good news for you. Children's Church, we're going to resume Children's Church for all you young children. I know you're looking forward to it. We'll be doing that Sunday, November the 1st. And we have a sign-up sheet available to you. We've already got, let's see, 8 names on here. And so it's a good start, but we're going to need some more folks, okay? So just because you don't have children anymore old enough to be in Children's Church, you maybe have grandchildren. And if you don't have grandchildren, that still doesn't mean you can't help in Children's Church. So please remember that and sign up. This will be, McCord's going to put this on the board back here. And so sign up for the Children's Church. And then we've got the Samaritan's purse shoebox is still available here. They need to be turned in by the November the 8th. And while we're talking about the Samaritan's Church purse shoeboxes, the Baptist men want to do something. Jeff, you want to speak to that, or you want me to go ahead? The Baptist men want to do something. We want to sponsor the every child or every young person here a box to do this. So as you go in Children's Church on November the 1st, it'd be a great time to take one of these boxes with you and prepare it, and the Baptist men's going to cover all the costs. So we'll sponsor you on that. So please be sure you leaders get a box for each one of the children in Children's Church, and the Baptist men will cover the cost of the box. And we want to do that. That'll give you all something to focus on as well, too, right on the start. So that'll be great. Let's not forget our Wednesday night services beginning at 6:30. Several of you are coming, but we need more. So you all come and be part of Wednesday night. That's all the announcements I have. Anyone have anything? Yes, Lionel.
Yeah, I'd like to speak on behalf of Baptist Children's Home.
Yes.
A special time and special needs in our college days. You know, there's a lot of
Baptist
they need our help. And how better if we can help them? Whatever dollar we give them, it'll be matched up to $250,000 from now until the end of January 31st, 2021. So if you haven't ever done that,
thank you, Lionel. I'll repeat that for those of you that will be listening on the web, and also for those on the radio is listening to the radio. The Children's Home, and I'm sure they're like most organizations these days. They are really needing our support, and they got a lot of children there. And we've talked about this before. But during when school's out and all of the other things, it just doubles up the requirement there. And so let's please be sure to, if you can help in some way, to reach out to the Children's Home, send your check directly, or you can maybe give a check here at the church. And I'm sure, Brenda, you would make sure it gets there.
Our offering will start the first Sunday in November and run
yes.
through November.
Right. So it'll be first Sunday in November. You'll be able to do it through the church anyway. But if you want to do something extra, you can do that too. So all of that. Thank you, Brenda, for that reminder. So, all right. Any other announcements? If not, then we'll go to our prayer requests this morning. I have quite a few that have given me their requests, and so I want to share those with you, and then we'll go with what you have as well. Let's remember Matt Hamilton. Matt is doing much better, but he has a big kidney stone, I understand, to deal with, and it may be one of those that will not be passed and will have to be handled some other way. So let's keep Matt in our prayers. And Matt's doing better, but he definitely needs our prayers. Let's remember Miss Doris Mabry. Now, Doris is an aunt to Lionel and my wife Donna, and I've been told she's not doing very well. As a matter of fact, I believe hospice, she's over in the hospice unit in Concord, and so she's not doing well. And let's keep that her in our prayers. Continue to remember Stacy Talley. Stacy's got some surgery, I believe, in her future. I hadn't heard an update. Have you had anything?
Tuesday.
Do what now?
It's this Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday. Okay. I wasn't sure of the date. Thank you. All right. Let's remember Jeff Kay. He's got bypass surgery scheduled for the week of the 29th at some point during that week. Let's remember him as he prepares for that. And then also Jeff's mom. Jeff's mom is still battling cancer. Let's lift up Jeff's mom in prayer as well. Been asked for a special prayer request for Keith Henson. Keith, our neighbor across the hill over here, and he had some disc surgery, and he's still in the hospital, and I understand that there's some the need is great for our prayers. So let's pick up Keith in our prayers. Mike and Vivian Austin. Mike and Vivian, we talked about them in deacons meeting, and we'll lift them up to in prayer. Ruth Eford's brother, George Louder, and his wife, Karen, we need to lift them up in prayer as well. They've been asked for a special prayer request this morning. While we're remembering or talking about Tony and Ruth, Tony and Ruth are not with us today. They are in quarantine. They did that on their own. They're not infected with the COVID-19, but indeed their doctor, Tony's doctor, has been tested positive for the disease. And so, but Tony has been 10 days, I think, if I've got that right, or 10 days away, but he still feels the need to quarantine himself another week. And so he and Ruth are not with us today. So keep them in your prayers, and let's pray that by all means that God will keep them safe. Let's continue to remember Mr. Joe Smith, Pastor Joe Smith, and our chaplain at our hospital. And if you've ever met a harder working chaplain, I haven't, than Joe Smith. But he has the COVID-19, and I understand he's having some difficulties. So let's lift up Brother Joe. Anyone else? Any more prayer requests this morning that maybe I have overlooked this morning? I hope I have not. Anywhere. Yes, Betty. Okay. Let's remember Pat Burgess. Anyone else? She has the virus as well. Yes, that's correct. I knew that name was familiar. I just couldn't place it. Sheila Bolton. Let's remember Sheila Bolton. She has been diagnosed with the virus as well. Yes, Kenny. Yeah. Yes. Kenny, that's a great request. Kenny is thanking the church and all of our prayers for the facilities that have been battling this COVID virus and the nursing homes and all around through us that we know of. And so that's wonderful news that they're making progress, and that prayer is the answer. Prayer is the answer. Yes. On the 23rd. Okay, again, I'm going to repeat this. This is for Bryson, and we've been, Mr. Bryson Martin, we have been praying for him for a long, long time. God is making progress, I believe, in his life, and we know that. But let's remember, he's got a birthday coming up on the 23rd, so let's remember him with our card. It'd be a wonderful thing to do, Mr. Bryson. Okay, anyone else? I believe he's still at the nursing, I mean, not nursing home. He's with the Ronald McDonald House there. Yeah, okay. All right. If there are no other requests, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another Lord's Day you've given us. And Lord, as I look out across the crowd here this morning and in the sanctuary, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for them. I thank you, Lord, for them being here this morning in their places, Lord, and to worship you. And then those listening, Lord, on the webcast and listening to the radio as well, we thank you for them. Thank you for being a part of this Lord's Day service. But Lord, you've asked us, Lord, and you've told us, Lord, that when we need something, we need to ask and be specific about it. And Lord, there's such a lot of needs that we have to share with you this morning. The first thing, Lord, we want to do is continue to pray for our nation. Let's pray for our church as we continue to work our way through this dreaded virus. And Lord, we thank you for the safety that we're all sharing right now. But Lord, there are specific ones that we need to lift up to you this morning. We pray for Matt Hamilton as he's dealing with the kidney stone. Lord, we pray for him. We pray for Miss Doris Mabry as she is very ill today, Lord, in the hospice care. Pray for Stacy as she will be having surgery for Tuesday. Jeff Kay, as he is approaching, his time of surgery is approaching for bypass. We pray for him, pray for his safety. And Lord, we want to remember Jeff's mom as she continues to battle the cancer. Our neighbor Keith Henson, Lord, we pray for him. Lord, I know there's a need there, Lord, and a specific need that you know, and we ask and pray for him this morning. We pray for Mike and Vivian, Lord. And we miss them in attendance here, but Lord, we understand. We understand the situation in their life, but Lord, we pray for them. We pray for their health. We pray for Miss Ruth's brother, Mr. George Louder, and as his wife, Karen. We lift him up to you this morning, and we pray for them as we do pray for Ruth and also for Tony as they're home in quarantine this morning. But Lord, we know, Lord, and we pray for their safety. Mr. Joe Smith, our pastor Joe Smith, we pray for him, and Lord, as he continues on. And then there are those Pat Burgess. We pray for her this morning. Lord, we miss Pat as well, and we know that she'd be here if she could. But we pray for her strength and we pray for her patience this morning. Miss Sheila Bolton, as she is battling the virus, we pray for her this morning. And then, Lord, little Bryson Martin, it's good to hear the report from him, Lord. But, Lord, we know there's a great need there. And that, Lord, we could lift up his spirits by remembering his birthday. Help us all to do that. And then, Lord, we continue to pray for all those in the nursing homes and as they battle this virus. But, Lord, we thank you for your safety, and we thank you, Lord, for your helping those who, Lord, now miss a family and all of us that cannot go anymore to see them. Lord, we pray for their safety. And then, Lord, as we go forward today in today's service, we thank you for our time and we can now worship you. We pray for Pastor Ed as he comes to minister us today. And then we pray for Tonda, Lord. We thank you for her who will be coming to sing for us, and Brenda as she supports us on the music. And for Jeff also, and for Wes at the top, who help us each and every Sunday. We thank you for them. Pray, Lord, now, Lord, as we go forward and as we remember always that you're bigger than any problem that we have. And we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your safety. And then these blessings I ask in your sweet name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We also want to do a song of praise this morning. I just want to try to do that each and every Sunday. Not that it should remind you that we need to praise God, because you're here to do that, but the song in itself has the words of praise, and I want to do that. Let's sing Father, I Adore You, and it's on page 256, and we'll do all three verses. Let's stand and sing praise to the Lord this morning. My life before you. Thank you. May be seated. Tonda, if you would, please. Your mic is on. I've been asked to tell you that.
Oh, I'm here?
Yeah, come on.
Perfect. Perfect. Just grab in.
So I'm turned on up here, right? All right, good. So Leonard asked me to come up with a special for this morning. And it was mine and Gary's anniversary today. So 39 years of survival. I know, Jeff. It's a miracle. He's standing back there looking like, no way. I know, 39 years. Well, you know, I have to say that Mr. Don, bless him, he always hugs me every time he's here. And, of course, you know, I've been missing those hugs. And he'll say, I'm still praying for you, Tonda. And I'll say, Mr. Don, please do. So if Mr. Don's getting to listen to this today on the webcast, I'm going to thank him for all of his prayers. Now, we joke and pick, but we've had 39. Gary will tell you it's been a wonderful 10. I have to remind him that we have to tack on 29 more to that. So, anyway, I said to him, what's one of your favorites? And, of course, Gary's Beulah Land is one of his favorites. And I said, I don't know, honey, if I can come up with that tone to get Beulah Land done. But Holy Ground is another one of his, all of my family, in fact. So I reached out to Wesley because Wesley's our main man up here, him and Jeff. We don't know what we would do without them. And he said, I think this is the one we used last time. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. We just may fade at the end because it's a little different. But isn't it a wonderful feeling when we come into God's house and we do feel that presence of the Lord? And it feels that comfort. I don't know about you guys, but I need that comfort week after week. I need it all I can get it, the comfort and the presence of the Lord. So I know everyone's heard it many, many times, but sing along with me behind those masks. I would love that. Okay.
As I walk through the door, I sensed his presence, and I knew this was the place where love abounds.
And at his feet.
Thank you, Tonda. You know, to many of the people that ride up and down the road out in front of the church, this is just a building. But whether it's in this building or in a previous building that stood on this spot, how many tears were shed around this altar? How many people have walked the aisle and given their heart and life to Jesus? How many times have people come into this building, heard a song or a prayer or a message that the Holy Spirit used to touch their heart? That makes it holy, a holy place. And I pray that you feel that way. I remember when I was back, 10, 11, 12, on up to 16, 18. Back in the old days when they never locked a church building. How many times I would go over to West Albemarle, just walk in. Sometimes get on my knees, sometimes just sit on a pew. And felt I was in the presence of God because it was holy ground. Amen. Thank you so much, Tonda, for sharing. Now, if I was going to be really mean this morning, I would now say, would all of you turn your homework assignment in and pass it to the center aisle? You do remember that I gave you homework last week. I pray that you did it, and if you don't, we'll give you another week. Because it's important that we hear from God. But we won't do that. But really, the message today goes along with exactly what I shared last week. All of us want to be a success. Now, success changes as we grow up. You know, for a little kid, I just want to learn to read. And then you ask a lot of children, I want to grow up and be a fireman, a policeman, a farmer, a nurse, an athlete. I want to be just like Daddy. I want to be just like Mama. And then sometimes when a kids get to high school, it's, I want to be a part of the in crowd. I want to be the head cheerleader. I want to be the star on the football team. Later, success may mean making lots of money, having a successful marriage, being good parents. Success changes as we go along. And we can be a success in one area and a failure in another area. But what does the Bible say about success? I want you to think about something today. And we'll begin in the book of Joshua. If you'll turn to the first chapter of Joshua, that's where we began. Now remember, Joshua has some very big shoes to fill. Anybody here like to be the replacement for Moses? I mean, part the Red Sea, water out of a rock, holding up the rod so the battle is won, meeting God up on Mount Sinai and bringing down the Ten Commandments, writing the first five books of the Bible. You know, Joshua had some big shoes to fill. And he's probably asking himself, are we going to be able to take the promised land? Now, we know Joshua believed. But still, the devil must have whispered in the back of his mind, you can't do it. You can't do it. Joshua was going to be leading probably 3 million people. And getting that many people to follow you is not going to be an easy task. So Joshua is concerned about what's going to happen. And suddenly, verse 1 says that the Lord spoke to Joshua. The Lord had a word for Joshua. And then when you get down to verse 5, the Lord tells Joshua, "There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong, of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You know, three different times he tells him to be strong and courageous in just these short verses. Be strong, be courageous. And he tells him how to do it. Verse 8. "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and you'll meditate on it day and night." He says, "Joshua, I promise you some things. I promise you a prosperous life. I promise you a successful life, a successful leadership, successful in taking the promised land, and here's how you do it. You constantly meditate on the Word of God. You constantly meditate on the Word of God." Now flip with me over to the book of Psalms, the very first Psalm. Very first Psalm. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." Notice, again, promises. I'm going to be blessed. You're going to be like a tree that's planted right by a river bank, so that even in the dry season, you can send roots down into that river bank and receive nourishment. You're always going to prosper. Your leaves are not going to wither. And at the due season, you're going to bring forth your fruit. You're going to be blessed. He says, "Whatsoever you do shall prosper." Verse 3, "Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." How? He delights in the word of God, and he meditates on it day and night. Same as Joshua was told, delight in the word of God and meditate on the word of God day and night. Now flip over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we'll go to verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the right judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Notice there, he's promised cleansing from sin. In verse 9, keeping him from sin, he said, verse 11, your word's in my heart that I have not sinned against thee. He's rejoicing in the word of God. And it's more important than riches. Verse 14, I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He said, God's word means more to me than money. And how is he going to get all of this? He loved God's word. He wanted God to teach him. In verse 15, I'll meditate on your word, your precepts, day and night. I will meditate on thy precepts. Have respect. Do you get the pattern? Three different times, it says, success comes from meditating on the Word of God. Success comes from meditating on the Word of God. Now, what is meditating? What is meditating on the Word of God? I'll give you a silly thought. Nobody can swallow a whole apple or a whole steak. What do? You take a knife and you cut it up in little pieces that you can put in your mouth and you chew it. And you chew it until it's digestible. And then once it's digestible, it can go out through your system and provide nourishment to your body. To meditate means to mull over, to chew on the Word of God. To spend our time thinking and thinking and thinking over little bits of the Word of God at times. Now, if you're reading the Bible through in a year, you're going to read five or six chapters every day. And I won't ask you to show hands, but how many of you have ever read three or four chapters and closed your Bible, sat down, and if somebody said, what did you just read? You'd say, I don't know, it's in the Bible, it was in Matthew. I've done that more than once. I'm not pointing any fingers at you. I've done that more than once. If you'd asked me what I just read, I couldn't tell you. And it's great to read the Bible in chapters, but so much better that if after you've read those chapters, as you read them, you have one verse or a part of a verse that just leaps out at you. And all day long, you're thinking about that verse, that phrase. And you're just meditating on it and you're digesting it and you're letting the Holy Spirit teach you over and over and over again what that particular verse says. And the Bible says that as we meditate on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit enlightens us and that verse becomes digested in our system, it gets down inside of us. It becomes a part of us. It changes our beliefs, our way of thinking, our way of acting. The Bible talks about building precept upon precept. You know, you start off in math and you learn 1 + 1 = 2, and then you go on to subtraction, and you go on to division and multiplication, and then you get into algebra and geometry and calculus and all that, but you start and you keep building and you keep building. And as we meditate on the Word of God, it just keeps building and building and building, and it begins to change us from the inside out. Meditating on the Word of God is the way to go. It just changes our life. Let me share a few things from my own life. I've shared this before, but you know, being the oldest child, many a time I lived six blocks or so from West Albemarle Baptist Church, and many a time on Wednesday night I walked by myself because Mom was home taking care of the little ones in the family. And on the way home, if it was in the summertime, I was usually singing whatever we sang, Sweet Hour of Prayer, to the top of my voice. And people with the windows up, you know, or down, you know, in the summertime, they probably didn't enjoy that at all. But if I wasn't singing, I was meditating on what the pastor shared that particular Wednesday night. Just thinking about it and thinking about it and letting the Holy Spirit teach me. I think about being in seminary. Now, when I went to seminary, they did not have a post office on campus. We had to go to the post office in the town of Wake Forest. And I guess it's about as far from here to Booger Holler Road, or maybe a little further. And I was always looking for a letter from my girlfriend, who was over at Wingate. You know, she's sitting right there. They didn't have a sign posted, as some post offices do, but they didn't have a sign posted that says mail will be boxed by 10:30 or whatever. That, so you never knew when they were going to put the mail in the boxes. So there were days that I would walk over there two or three times looking for that letter. Just me and the Lord and the walk. Meditating on what God would have been saying to me. Thinking about it and thinking about it. And you know, in the meditation, God can say something to you. Okay, son, you need to repent of this thing. You need to change your way of thinking about this. You need to change your way of doing this. But you know, sometimes as you meditate on the Word of God, He speaks to you with ideas that are not, I'll say, spiritual. He may say, you know, that's a good thing to, that'd be a good way to fix that problem. That'd be a good invention. The Bible talks about the Lord giving us witty inventions. This would be a good way to call on this particular client today. All kinds of things that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. And I find it still works that way in my life. That from time to time, you know, I'm reading a verse, a phrase, and I get to chewing on that, and meditating on it, and all of a sudden I realize, oh, that's my newsletter for this week. Or that's my sermon for this week. Or that's a newsletter or a sermon for down the road. I've got one that I've had since about April, and I can't figure out when I'm supposed to use it. You'll get it sooner or later. But sooner, you know, I know it's supposed to be, but it isn't supposed to be yet. And so the Lord may give you ideas as you meditate on the Word of God that are for right now, today, or for this week. But He may give you ideas that are down the road, 6 months or a year. But the key is to get God's Word, meditate on it and meditate on it and get it down in your spirit to the point that you know exactly what you're doing. Now, education and hard work and athletic ability and artistic ability to draw or to sing or technical abilities, all of those are great. But there's no substitute for success if we want to meditate on the Word of God. Now, don't discount the education or the hard work or the abilities that God has given you. God gives you abilities. Thank the Lord for him. But he can enhance the way you use those abilities as you meditate on the Word of God. Lasting, genuine, eternal success comes from meditating on the Word of God. We saw it in Joshua. We saw it with the psalmist in Psalm 1, which was probably David. Psalm 119 was probably somebody else. Three different times. Now turn with me in one more scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll begin to read verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. The Bible says there's a time coming when everything that we've done all of our life will stand before the Lord and judged, and will pass through the fire of judgment. And the gold and the silver and the precious stones will last. The wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. Now, if we want to have the gold and the silver and the precious stones left to carry into eternity, they're going to come as we meditate on the Word of God and do like we talked about last week, find out the will of God and do the will of God. If we run off on our own and do our own thing and build our own castles and our own dreams, many times it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And when we come through this time of judgment, it's not going to affect our salvation. He said we'll be saved. It tells us plainly we'll be saved. But we'll lose out on many things. The greatest thing you can do for yourself spiritually, the greatest thing you can do for this church spiritually, is become a person who spends time every day meditating on the Word of God. Some days you may have more time than others. And you can do it while you drive. You can, you know, don't close your eyes and hope the Holy Spirit's guiding your car. You can do it while you drive. You can do it while you work. You can do it if you wake up in the middle of the night. But meditating on the Word of God is the key to real, lasting, eternal success. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you that you did not leave us in the dark concerning how to be successful in this life. Lord, you only give us one shot, one time of life, and I pray that all of us, want to be successful. And we want to do it right. And so, Father, I pray that we'll learn to meditate on your word, because your word brings prosperity and success. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.